I was preaching another message, and it was actually a message that I had preached here. I was preaching it for the chapel at Heritage, and I gave just a preview of reading some scripture to give a context that I had already given by the series. And it was when this verse first struck me as part of the entire system that we were dealing with. Romans 8:29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son." That was the part that I was trying to quote, that I was trying to emphasize. And but the last part of it says, "that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." That is the purpose. Why did he predestine us to be conformed to the image of Christ? The answer is that he, Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. It is that family desire, it is that calling us into being the sons of God, that is the great purpose of God. This is that purpose from the beginning that called, urged God, I don't know how to speak of this, but that moved God to create. God was not in need. God didn't suffer lack of anything. Decided to create entirely for the positive purpose of having beings that he could call into his loving family. This was the greatest possible existence, to be fully in love and be fully loved. It was only the characteristic of the three persons of the triunity. And so, to bring us in, he created. The problem was sin. It defiled us. It ruined us. It exiled us. God is holy in his nature. This is who he is. We think of holiness by following a certain set of rules. When God was alone in the universe, there were no rules. He is his own rule. And so holiness is the way he is. This is his nature. What we need to understand is that it's not just being fussy and stuffy for him to refuse us. He is who he is, and sin is against his very nature. And so, being God, sin and sinful beings must be exiled, must be removed from his presence. The work of holiness in man is God overcoming all of this to draw us close to him. We were reading in Ephesians 2 this morning, and in verse 10 he says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained." There's that predestined concept again, that we should walk in them. In the beginning, the plan was for us to receive him, receive his love, love him back, and to be brought to his level as we're brought into sonship. The main idea of predestination is God's plan from the beginning. And what we see is that plan was a loving plan. When we deal with the holiness of God then tonight, the holiness of God described, we want to point out about his character and his actions, that God is holy and that God accepts only holiness. Now, I've given you that in brief. Let me go into some detail. Because God is transcendent in quality, He is transcendent in quality of character. The logical progression here. Holiness is understood to be the way God is. This is not him finding a law and adhering to that. This is him being who he is. All standards of holiness given in the Word of God basically come up to measuring up to God. So whatever he is right. Man pictures God being able to do evil, so we don't want to say that holiness is anything that God is. This is just wrong thinking. This is not understanding who God is. Aside from creation, aside from redemption, God was and is holy. It's his nature. Deuteronomy 32:4, he is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. We're to the very essence of God. Holiness is perceiving God as he is. John Gill analyzed this pretty well. Holiness is the purity and rectitude, being right, of his character, of his nature, not just his actions, his nature, whose nature is so pure as to be without spot or stain or anything like it. He is light and purity itself, and in him is no darkness or impurity at all. As, quote, he is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity, so he is of a purer heart and mind than to have one single sinful thought in it. His thoughts are not as ours. His reference is to Habakkuk 1:13a, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity or grievance. Canst not look. This is the limitation. An infinite God has infinite limitations. By his nature, he cannot go into sin. Can't even look at it. This is the problem that sin in man caused for God. We were exiled. We were canceled out. And so the great work, the great wisdom of the new covenant of salvation was Christ dying for us, making that payment. Again, in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He says, I'm not like you. You're the creature, I'm the creator. A vast gulf of difference. Continuing with John Gill, holiness is an essential attribute of God. That means of his very essence. It is his nature and essence. It is himself. He is holiness itself. And as it is his nature and essence, it is infinite and unbounded. It cannot be greater than it is, and can neither be increased nor diminished. This is that transcendence of God in holiness. And as it is his nature and essence, it is immutable, unchangeable, and invariable, not by degrees. But God is always the same holy being, without any variableness or shadow of turning. He is originally holy. He is so in and of himself and of no other. He's not borrowing this from anybody else. There is none prior, nobody before, and superior or above him, from whom he could derive or receive any holiness. As his being is of himself, so is his holiness, which is himself. He is the uncreated life. 1 Samuel 2:2, Hannah prays, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. She got this. She saw God. Revelation 15:4, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. This ultimate holiness, this being of holiness. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And so the scripture focuses in on this idea that in fact God is what holiness is. This is his very nature. This is how he is built. But this means, and this is our problem as sinful beings, that God accepts only holiness. Because God is the greatest good, he will always maintain the greatest good in his actions. You see, that logically develops. His actions are absolutely consistent with his quality of character. He never acts in a way differing from his holiness. This was Christ's point when he spoke to the rich young man, Mark 10:18. Jesus said to him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Since God never differs from his holiness, it is clear that God, in his relations to others, will never accept from them less than the greatest good. The concept is that he, to bring us to himself now, he has to bring us past the barrier of sin. He has to elevate us out of the deformed, putrid, stinking, filthy state that we're in. He is incapable in his nature of receiving us in that state. In that state, we might look around and say, we're not as bad as somebody else. But that has nothing to do with anything except our pride. The question is, are we sufficient to stand in a sonship relationship with God? God is perfect and transcendent in his justice. To be accepted in God's presence, one must also be holy, consistent with the character of God. That's what being holy means. The word holiness, both the Hebrew and the Greek, is the word to be separate. And, the kid being punished standing in the corner is being separated, but he's not being holy. So this is separated from what and to what? From sin and to God. In the loving sense, God making us holy is God bringing us to himself, being able to embrace us. So, let's look at the scripture. The holiness of God documented. Leviticus 11:44-45. For I am the Lord, you see Jehovah here, I am Jehovah your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves. Make yourselves holy, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. I want you to become like me. I want you to learn that. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, for I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt. I'm the Savior. I'm the one who rescued you, the one who took you out of the bondage, to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Being like God is what holiness is all about. Leviticus 19:2. Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. He's speaking of his very nature. Leviticus is the book of the law. We're not surprised to find this emphasized there. Leviticus 20:26. Ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine. Separated you from other people. Leviticus 21:8. Thou shalt sanctify him therefore, for he offereth the bread of God. He shall be holy unto thee, for I, the Lord, which sanctify you, am holy. Joshua 24:19. Joshua said unto the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins." So we're at the very point when we do that which God cannot accept, then we will see his face turned from us. Without going into it, I saw that this was too many to give to you, but the phrase "Holy One of Israel" is used of God in 31 verses. This is a major title of God, Holy One of Israel, that beacon of what holiness means. In Isaiah 57:15, "For thus saith the High and Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity," that's transcendent, "whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit." It is that spirit that breaks you of your sin, brings you to him. It's not the nose in the air, holier than thou look that we've come to associate often with people that are talking about holiness. To revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Matthew 5:48, Jesus Christ himself, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Be like your Father. 1 Peter 1:15-16, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation," all manner of lifestyle. "Because it is written," as we saw several times in Leviticus, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Now, again, this is not a message urging us to be holy, except in the sense that we're talking about this characteristic of God, understanding who he is, and a realization that if we're ever going to be accepted by him, we must in some way enter into that holiness. The way God has planned for it is not the path of the law, for we're still in our sin. If you're in your sin, obeying the law, then you're obeying the law sinfully. You have to break out of that sinfulness. And this is why we have the sacrifice of Christ, so that we receive the holiness of God, not the holiness of man. So let's close with the holiness of God desired. We see he is holy. We see we want to be accepted. We want to be embraced as sons of God. We need to be conformed to the image of his natural son, we who are the adopted sons. So let's see how the holiness of God applies to us. It was predestined by God as the process by which we are transformed. He finds us, he encounters us, as it were, lost in sin. He describes this to Israel at one point, and he says, "I found you in a field as a baby in your blood, in your misery, in your defiled. I picked you up and cleaned you up," you see. This is that work of God. They're so messed up. They heard the silly story about the black lady, one of her several children got in the tar barrel. He was covered with tar, stuck asphalt to his skin. She looked at him, she said, "It'd be easier to have another one to clean you up." You know, the thing is, God could have said that. He could have said, "We're going to undo all this and just start again." But he didn't. He reached in to clean us up. Romans 8:29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate," this was his original plan, "to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." For us to be the brothers of Christ being the firstborn always, the natural son. But that's the goal. That's that loving desire of holiness. Secondly, holiness in man is therefore essential for our eternal relationship. Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. God is incapable of receiving that which is less than holy, because it's his nature. Then notice, it is for, holiness is for the purpose of gaining holiness. It is for this reason of gaining holiness that God allows difficulties in our life. How tough is it to get that tar off of you? I don't even know how you do that. Maybe with gasoline or something, a solvent. That's a tough thing. So God has given us difficulties that allow us to grow and become holy. Listen to his explanation of this in Hebrews 12. Verse 7, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. See, it's this son relationship thing again, cleaning you up. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? A loving father will always chasten his son, wants him to be better. Verse 9a, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. And that's, he's referring to our parents who spanked us, our fathers. For they verily, verse 10, for a few days while we were growing up, chastened us after their own pleasure. The King James margin here says, or as seemed good or meet suitable to them. They disciplined us according to their light. But he, God disciplining us, he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. You see, the holiness is that bringing us to him, to his heart. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And that's the key, to be exercised by it. All of us will go through trials. All of us will go through chastisement. But are you exercised by it? Do you learn the lesson? My son Paul, I will cry quietly before I even get spanked. You can stop at any moment you want. This is it. Correct your attitude. There was a time Paul, as a teenager, was starting to give his mother a tough time. She mentioned this to me. I dropped him off at the school, and I told him to stay in the car. And I said, your mother's telling me you're giving her difficulty being a sassing person. And I said, your life as you know it will end if that is not changed. Do you understand me? He took a breath and said, yes, I understand. He realized in that moment he liked his life as it was, did not want it to change. And he adjusted his life. I just want to be like that. I want to be like that with God. When I'm chastised, do I grieve at God? How dare you? Do I say, I'll make my own decisions. If I'm wrong, it's my choice. I'm not learning anything. But if I'm exercised by it, then I become holy. James picks this up, James 1, 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy. How do you count it joy when you've got troubles? Always like Dr. Kopp. Church would be having difficulties. He'd be meeting with the deacons, and he said, it's exciting to find out what God's going to do with this. And I'm looking at him like, Are you real? But he got it, see? This is what's happening in your life. Why am I experiencing difficulty? God is trying to teach me something. God is trying to pry some of that tar off my delicate parts. And this is all joy. I'm becoming godlike. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials, knowing this, that the trying, the testing of your faith worketh patience. This is the word for endurance. But let patience, let endurance have her perfect work. This is being exercised by it. Cooperate with it. Let it have its perfect work, that you may end up perfect. You say, perfect? He can't be asking me to be perfect. Yes, he is. Why? That's what Christ said. Be ye perfect, for your Father in heaven is perfect. Be like your Father, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. I'll close with Matthew Henry's words on this passage in James. When the work of patience is complete, then the Christian is entire, and nothing will be wanting. It will furnish us with all that is necessary for our Christian race and warfare, and will enable us to persevere to the end. And then its work will be ended and crowned with glory. And do you sense what that glory is? This is not you in a wonderful robe and a crown. This is you being accepted as a son of God. That's one of his own. Well, the holiness of God. This is not you being forced into a life of drudgery, forced into a life of mindless obedience. This is you seeking to shake off the sinful shackles, to become unbounded, and to be like our Father, like the one who loved us and gave his Son to die for us. Holiness, like all other of the doctrines of God, is bound up with the love of God. The love of God. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for your kindness to us, that we can come to the place in our life where we recognize we may be delivered from the bondage of sin. Not just delivered from the punishment of sin, and we glory in that. We may be delivered from the very dominance, the very power, the very presence of sin. We ask that you might help us to grow to that degree so that when the time comes and you have taken us as far as we can go, you take us to heaven and the work is completed. We are finished. The salvation of our body is done. We are now in that great process of the salvation of our soul, of our mind and our will and our emotions. The changing of selfishness to love. We ask that you might give us then a great desire to cooperate, to be exercised by your chastening, to gain the endurance in your trials. For Father, it is up to you to say when we have reached the level that we need. We need to get to the place when we are conformed to the image of your true Son. With heads bowed, eyes closed, you say, Pastor, I recognize that God is who he is. He's not just dour-faced, pointing at us, fussy. He loves us, wants to bring us to himself, and we keep holding on to the foolishness, to the filth of this world. You say, I would like to cooperate. I would like to be exercised by his chastisement. and perfected by his trials. God helping me, I long to be holy as God is holy. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Yes, amen. 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 Father, then we turn our hearts to thee and say thank you for loving us. Thank you for having the grand goal of bringing us to yourself. And Father, we want to run to thee. We're not yet ready for that. Our sins have been forgiven, but our life, our thinking, has not yet been fully trained. We have not yet been transformed. We ask that you might help us then, not to be conformed to the image of the world, but to be conformed to the image of Christ. We thank you for these. You've talked to them in a special way in their heart. We ask that you might help them to pursue this, to pursue holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And we pray thy blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.